Blog Talk Radio.
A Monday warrior, mean stride. Today's Tom Sawyer, mean stride.
Good afternoon in the Vatican City, good morning on the East Coast, and shh, they're still sleeping on the West Coast. My name is Jason Dias, broadcasting live from the offices of eloquentonline.net in the beautiful sunny city of New Braunfels, Texas, Republic thereof, and joining us from the company car, he is the toughest, talkinest chief operating officer somewhere in South Carolina. Hey, Troy, how are you?
Hey, I am doing wonderful. It is a beautiful day today. Oh, my gosh.
Now, you are out driving. You are in the company car, the Tahoe.
Yes, the Tahoe.
And you're heading out to, in the true spirit of credit unions, you're out to go help the credit union. Tell us about
it. Yes, I am going to Catawba, South Carolina, and I'm going to be working with our friends at Arrowpoint Federal Credit Union, and we're just doing a little collaboration, a little cooperation together today, and so I'm going to go out and meet with the team, and we're just going to chat about some strategies and ideas and just kind of rejuvenate some stuff, so it's really exciting.
Very, very
cool.
I think we lost you, Troy. Can you hear me? Yeah, we did. We lost Troy. He'll call right back in, though. Troy does that a lot. He goes out and he works with other credit unions. He goes and does strategic planning. He does all kinds of cool stuff out there in the credit union marketplace in South Carolina and elsewhere. Today we are talking about live, work, and worship. When I was out, at the GAC, of course, it's a great time where people start talking about all the new, you know, Credit Union Now, Credit Union Unite, and things like that. And one of the things that you always hear people talking about, or I hear people talk about, are the seven cooperative principles. And honestly, I don't know that any of your members or anybody in your audience knows what the seven cooperative principles are. Now, I think there's a lot of advantages to cooperative banking, but we spend a lot of time trying to tell people what these seven cooperative principles are. And so today we're going to talk about what I think are the more important things, because these are things that people actually know. They know where they live, they know where they work, they know where they learn, and they know where they worship. And I think we got Troy back. Troy, you must have gone through a little cell break there.
I must have done that, yes. And I'm really glad that you added that fourth element from the advertisement you had from yesterday for the show, is that you've added the learn aspect, which is an important element. It gives us our quad now, our four beats to our music. So
I thought about it after I sent it. Once you name the show, just so people know, when we had the other show, the Radio Free Credit Union show, it was the same title of the show every week, Radio Free Credit Union show. And when we changed the show back to the Power Performance and kind of took the radio show into a new iteration last year, you can actually title the show whatever you want, and it has a URL. But I did think about it. I kind of lumped in learn with live, because where you live, that's where you pay taxes for the school district you're in and things like that. But anyway,
sure.
Couple of show notes.
But those four elements are important because it's part of the it's from for a credit union perspective anyway. It has to do with the membership. The open field of membership is where it's where you live, work, worship, or attend school.
And of course, you've talked about it in the past that the ruling, I forgot the number. You always know this. The House bill 10 years ago or whenever it was that kind of opened
HR
up that,
11 HR 1151.
What was that? 2003 or 2004?
Actually, it was in 1999 effective in 2000. So January the 1st of 2000 was the first opportunity for open field of membership.
Now, and I would say when you look back, probably the last really big legislative victory that the credit union marketplace could celebrate in any, you know, macroeconomic way, and yet Every year, credit union professionals and volunteers descend on Washington, D.C., as they did late last month to attend the GAC. I was there. You were smart. You were not. But last week on the show, and I wanted to start by thanking Patrick Bassler, our jazz musician, sound guru, president and CEO of First Financial. That show went over 1,000 listens last night. He and his talented wife, we played some of their music last week, which was a real treat. But at the end of the show, you kind of threw me a curveball, which is not unusual. You had some remarks about the what do we call these guys, the Crash the GAC crew. And I just wanted to make sure, because I went, of course, folks, when we do the show, I go back and listen to the show, and I noticed little things, mistakes that I made. Like I called Patrick Eric one time, and then 2 weeks ago I called Tracy Kenyon Tracy something else, the wrong last name. And so we always listen back to the show so that I can hear all the mistakes that Troy makes, and occasionally I actually hear one of my own. But tell us what you were you were basically, I think what you were saying is, I'm trying to, how can I put this? And for once, I didn't start it. You were kind of saying that it's sort of time to rethink this whole Crash the GAC.
Well, you know, and a lot of it, yeah, I'll tell you how it all started is this. In South Carolina, our league, we formed a group called CU Forward, and it is 35 and under. And the idea is to really practically look for leadership opportunities for those individuals in that particular demographic age group. And again, I tell the folks the only reason that I'm even qualified to mentor that group is because my wife thinks that I act 12 years old. Oh, so I fall under 35 and under. But, you know, what for me, what I'm trying to say is that it's really time now for leaders today to start looking around and finding qualified individuals, regardless of their age, to allow them to really step into leadership. And there's nothing wrong with us mentoring a young person and getting them involved in leadership. And this whole issue, and I understand what was really happening in the very beginning, because I'm not disrespectful to people who have ideas and move forward and do something creative and energetic.
Absolutely.
However, and so when the Crasher concept first came out, I was like, oh, my gosh, that's really cool. Crasher,
it was cool.
Okay, I got it. It's kind of like made a statement. Yeah, but it's like a flash mob. How many times do you crash something before someone goes, oh, my gosh, can you not figure out something else? And so the point I wanted to make was this. I want to encourage young people to realize you don't have to do like we did in the 70s when we were the baby boomer, big, bad, let's have a sit-in, let's have a flower power movement against the establishment. You can actually join the establishment. There are more and more leaders every day opening up to the concept of helping young people get involved. You don't need to be uninvited to a party. You have an open invitation to a party.
Exactly.
The only way you can crash something is when you're not included.
Yep.
And so for you to continue the process of saying that you are not included just to get attention, all of a sudden undermines the very people that you are trying to get into leadership, because you're putting them into a group that simply says, look, we have to be like this. We have to be rebels. We have to be these rousers. No, you do not have to do that. That does not have to be that particular way. It may have been to make a shock statement so that you can get a point, but once you have people's attention, now let's start speaking intelligently. Let's start speaking actively. Let's start moving in a direction that says, okay, now let's get ourselves plugged in. What leadership opportunity is available? Okay, we're going to get somebody. Let's get them going. Let's get them in there. That,
well,
to me, is how you do it.
When I finally had a chance, like I said, I listened back to the show and I thought about that. I kind of figured that's where you were coming from. It's that, you know, you and I tell people all the time, Troy and I do things that other people talk about. I mean, we here at Eloquent Online named a 17-year-old high school student the new president of Eloquent Online. We want to offer that person an opportunity to make some big-time decisions. And for those of you who keep asking me, are you serious? Yes, I'm serious. I have a new title now. Emma's going to be calling on our clients and welcoming them to Eloquent Online. She's going to be doing a lot of cool things. And speaking of Emma, she turned 18 yesterday. She was also named to the all-district basketball team as the power forward from the Lady Cats out of New Braunfels Christian Academy. Apparently, Emma's got some game. I think it might be kind of fun to challenge her to a game of one-on-one or 21 because I can play a little bit of basketball. That might be fun to watch her chase the old guy around the court. But that
it
is exactly...
No, actually, it'll be interesting to watch you chase the 18-year-old around the court.
I was trying to hit the rim shot.
Yeah, there you go.
I was trying to hit the rim shot, and I hit the end of the show, and the studio audience got all excited because they thought they could leave.
Do you actually think you'll have to listen back to the show to catch that mistake?
No. But here's the thing. I was there at the Trailblazer Awards, and I had the same reaction. They walked in, and there's one of the guys from the Crash thing. He's from the United Kingdom. And people, if you're gonna look at my profile on LinkedIn, if you want to know something about me, we have these things called telephones and email addresses. You can call me. You can email me. You can ask me questions. Troy and I are always open to answering questions and stuff like that. I know most of you out there, especially maybe in that Crash group, are too cheap to upgrade to LinkedIn Premium, but I'm not. I know when you're looking at my profile, all right? It's not a secret. LinkedIn tells me that you've been there. But listen, folks, if you're listening to this show, as a thousand or so of you do every week, and you know somebody in the Crash movement, and you want to come on and talk to us about what you guys are all about, no, I had the same reaction. It's like, okay, this is the third year in a row. I looked around at the Trailblazer Awards, and I'm like, okay, let me see what they're doing. And what I mean, they were kind of doing what everybody else was doing. Yeah, they were sitting there and they're taking advantage of the open bar and getting lit up. And basically, it's like, man, the Crashers look just like the regular people. How many years are we going to do this? Are we going to be crashing the GAC when you guys are here in your walkers and your wheelchairs and stuff like that? It's just, I don't know. I agree with you, but I wanted to clarify because it kind of happened at a unexpected moment in the show last week. Well, anyway, folks, when we come back from the break, we're going to get into live, work, and worship. Think about where you live. Think about where you go to work. Think about where your young tax deductions go to school and where you go to church on Sunday or Wednesday nights or tonight for your Lenten service. And think about how can your credit union leverage some of that. And Troy must be doing about 90 miles per hour because he's really humming out there in the company car. And we're talking about all of it right after this. You're listening to the Power of Performance. If your brand were a band, would you leave your audience wanting more? That's right. You're back on the Power of Performance, that show that asked the question, if your brand were a band, would you leave the audience wanting more? And, of course, Troy was smart enough to see the error of my ways in naming the show with three words when everything that we try to do now at Eloquent Online is in the musical language of fourth. Let's talk about this. Now, Troy, you live in Charleston, South Carolina.
Yes, I do.
I would assume that you probably buy your groceries in Charleston, South Carolina. You pay taxes to a school district somewhere in Charleston, South Carolina. What are some of the things that South Carolina Federal does to take advantage of the local market? Because I see you guys doing stuff all the time on Twitter and Facebook.
Yeah.
What are some things that you guys do to take advantage of the people? I mean, I know we got internet. I know we got online. We got this. We got that. But there are a lot of people that are in daily contact with your brand because they live within that, you know, circular radius from your headquarters going out 20 miles within the city limits. What are some of the things that you guys do?
Well, I think the main thing that we do is make sure that folks realize that we are locally grown and locally supported, and therefore we give back to that local community. That is really an aspect of when you niche your market, that's what people want to know is how can they connect. So for us, it is about, like, for instance, we raised $125,000 that we have contributed back to the Lowcountry, which is the area that's what we call the Charleston space here, the Lowcountry. And we have given back to charities and organizations within that group. And that's just the monetary contribution. That does not include the in-kind contribution where we are constantly supporting things. Lowcountry Food Bank, we just had a program this past Sunday, and the what we raised, we actually will feed 4,000 children for
wow.
an entire year
wow.
Through that program. And I'm really happy to say that we make sure that we have our folks in leadership, either in this particular case, the vice president of our marketing department, Scott Blue, is the chairman for the food bank board of directors. And so he was, you know, part of the festivity. So a group of us came out on Sunday night, supported him, supported the food process there. And one of the other things that we do with that particular group is we do backpack buddies. And so once a month, we fill these backpacks with food. And this is the food that these children will only see from Friday when they leave school till Monday when they come back. If it
wow.
weren't for this backpack, they would not have any food over the weekend. So it is a tremendous program, which, you know, we participate with. Again, you've heard me speak about I'm on the board for Low Country Orphan Relief, which is the number one supplier of supplies for children who are abused or neglected in South Carolina. And so we have people from all over the state reaching back out to us. So, again, part of how we do this is we make sure that our folks know that our organization supports their involvement in these organizations in this way in which they can contribute back to where they live, work, worship, and attend school.
Yeah, and I mean, this is one thing. When I first got into banking, I worked for a bank that doesn't exist anymore, like a lot of banks, Norwest Banks. They became Wells Fargo after a time. And they used to have this pretty cool slogan. They used to talk about out-localing the nationals and out-nationaling the locals. They brought all the same, you know, products and services of a big, big bank into a small town, but you know, tried to be very small town with the brand. It didn't work, apparently, because they became Wells Fargo. But I think credit unions are uniquely situated to do those kinds of things, to be very, very local. And, you know, very few people get in their car and drive an hour and a half to open up an account. And, you know, I actually always wanted to do a show about these things, because I think live, work, learn, and worship are actually four great things that any brand should pay attention to. The next one is work. Now, I live in New Braunfels, Texas. One of the biggest employers we have here is the scooter store. You know, Troy, they make the little scooters that you always see on TV. I don't know why it's always the grandfather going down the pier on his scooter with the kids to go fishing. I don't know how safe that is. I mean, I'm always expecting to see grandpa go nailing into the lake or something. And man,
it's not an amphibian scooter, is it?
It's not an amphibian scooter. Well, imagine
okay,
this.
Yeah.
You work at the scooter store here in New Braunfels. They got the big old building. They've got the big old flag. And you're sitting at home Sunday night planning your spring break with your kids. And you get an email from the CEO to every 1,100 employees telling you are furloughed. Do not come to work on Monday.
Yeah.
The scooter store apparently got into some big-time problems with Medicare and overbilling. The FBI raided that place a couple weeks ago. And so now you got a lot of people in New Braunfels that are thinking about where they're going to work. And, you know, I think when you talked about the House bill where kind of credit unions transformed from that SEG mentality, it's sort of an open charter. Now you got people here in New Braunfels. Now, of course, in Texas, you could do a lot worse than being unemployed in Texas. And New Braunfels is squarely between two of the most prosperous cities in the union, Austin and San Antonio. It's a drag to lose your job. But what kinds of things does South Carolina Federal do to attract people? Hey, you're out there working. You're going to work every day. Stop by. I know you guys got the full suite of online and convenient services, but are there anything that do you guys still go out to businesses and stuff like that and actively recruit people?
We do. Again, it's more localized based on the market. And so realistically what we do is we define our branches, whether they're individually or within a cluster, as to a specific strategy. And I really won't get into a whole bunch of it, but if you want to go to the Snow and Miles 1978 topography on Defender, Prospector, Analyzer, and Reactor, you'll understand what I'm talking about. And in that particular environment, what we do is categorize the branch network and look for opportunities. What is the market potential? And not every one of our branches has to do exactly the same thing.
Right.
And so we do have some opportunities where some of our branches will, in fact, support local businesses and actually go out and go to those businesses to open accounts. And then there are other markets where we really don't operate with that philosophy.
When you said that, I looked over at the studio audience, and I'm like, you can pick which of the four words you said, the studio audience, I'm not sure they got any of them. They look very confused right now, and they might have been confused just on the word and. It is very early here in New Braunfels, Texas, Republic of, but I've often said that, you know, if there weren't credit unions, would there be a compelling need to create them in our contemporary time? And I was thinking about this when I saw the story about the scooter store. There's really not there's not a New Braunfels credit union. There's not a place here. And I thought it would have been such a powerful thing if immediately, you know, if we had had a New Braunfels credit union or a Comal County credit union or a Guadalupe River or Two Rivers credit union to come out and say, hey, you know, we're gonna let you skip a payment next month if you work at the scooter store. You know, we're gonna do what we can. We're gonna have a job fair in our lobby. You know, we are a micropolitan city of 60,000 people here in New Braunfels, but what we don't really have is a local financial brand. We've got Frost Bank, we've got Bank of America, we've got Randolph Brooks. But I think if you're one of those brands and you're doing business in New Braunfels, there's a huge opportunity right there to get out there and say, hey, man, we know you're hurting. If you're an employee of the scooter store, 1,100 of y'all, what can we do to help? Now, the next one is learn. And this is something that I know you guys just, you are all over this. It's getting to be scholarship season. You guys are actively out there recruiting that graduating class that was not supposed to be, because so many people believe those stupid Mayans. As I always say, if the Mayans are so darn smart, where are they? You do a lot of stuff in the schools.
We do, and a couple of things we offer is an annual scholarship for graduating students. We do it through our 25 and under program. And it's realistically, you don't necessarily have to just be a graduating senior, but you can be 25 and under, moving toward a degree program, and you can actually then submit information for one of our scholarships, of which we actually issue about $7,500 total in that program.
Yeah, and I think that's just a great, great way to get your brand out there that young demographic. And I know you guys are all over that.
Well, and the other thing we also do is a lot of financial literacy. So we are, really just spending a lot of time and effort and energy making sure that our consumers are very well educated about financial services. And in all areas, it's not just educating them to say, oh, come open the checking or saving.
Right.
But we teach them skills like auto buying. We teach them home buying. We provide them with a basis for financial counseling. We've even introduced a program based on the sequestration process and all of that issue. So we have a sequestration relief program that we have put in place so that we can, you know, be more responsible for those members who have those issues. So there's all kinds of stuff like that happening.
And I know also in the past you've done stuff at football games, Thursday night football games. I think that's just one of the greatest potential markets for your brand. You know, when I was in high school, I had an account. I didn't have an app. I didn't have an iPad, but I did have a little ATM card. Remember, you had that little ATM card would come in a little paper sleeve, and they would actually ask you to write your PIN number on that little paper sleeve, which I always thought was insane. But I actually had that when I was in high school and when I was a member at Randolph Brooks Federal Credit Union back a million years ago. Well, listen, folks, when we come back from the break, I want to get to the last of the fourth, live, work, learn, and, of course, worship. And this is where I think a lot of credit unions and brands simply – I don't know if it's because of political correctness or what it is. To me, it is the most under-leveraged part of that charter criteria. And so when we come back, I want to ask you, Troy, what can a brand as big South Carolina, or maybe as small as a smaller credit union or smaller brand do to intentionally engage those audiences on Sunday morning and Wednesday evening and Sunday night and whenever folks are gathering to worship, because they built it into the charter requirement or charter parameters. And again, I think it's one of the most under-leveraged parts of it. So when we come back to break, we'll talk about that, wrap up the show, tell you where we're going over the next couple of weeks, and we'll do it all right after this. You don't drink, you don't smoke, what do you do? A little Adam Ant on the show this morning, an early morning here from the offices of eloquentonline.net in beautiful New Braunfels, Texas, Republic thereof, heading up to Austin, Texas today with the crew just to enjoy a family day at spring break here in the beautiful state of Texas. Joining me as always is Tough Talkin' Troy, the Chief Operating Officer of South Carolina Federal Credit Union. Live, work, learn, and of course, worship. You and I both go to church. It's Wednesday. A lot of folks heading out to Lenten services tonight. You know, when I am driving around town, I think Chick-fil-A, maybe better than anybody, has reached out to that evangelical audience and has turned it into a booming business. I don't think credit unions do enough. I don't think any brands, banks, anything do enough to leverage the fact that there are lots and lots of people gathering tonight at Baptist churches and Catholic churches and Lutheran churches, and then, of course, multiply that on Sunday. What are some things that you think that any brand could do to leverage that worship angle?
Well, I think the first thing is it's important that it's leveraged in a way that is supportive of some of the programs. Again, going back to my comment in the beginning about investing in the community, investing in that, I don't necessarily think that you go after it as though here is a captive congregational audience, because the reality is this. The first and foremost for me, the point of worship is for
right.
that experience.
Right, exactly.
So,
exactly.
Right. So then for me, the way it would work is you align yourself with those types of programs that you feel align with your brand, align with your core values, and is what you would do. So, for instance, we know that going after the female, the woman, the leader of the family, because
the
in
mom
many
voice.
Cases,
right.
the mom voice, because she is the decision maker or the helpful decision maker in so many different ways. And so with that in mind, we partnered with a number of conferences that are that really draw in that mom voice. And so that's where we have chosen to leverage our space. And again, it's basically, I mean, you know, putting ads in bulletins, you know, that's not it. You know, showing up with my business card on Sunday morning as I'm talking to people, I mean, that's not it either. So it's really the idea is to align yourself. The other thing is that keep in mind that much of the way business works is on relationships. So wherever you are, you're developing relationships, and those relationships will carry forward. So what may not be a hard number attributed back to your worship experience may very well be a soft number
right.
or an yeah. in-kind that actually contributes to the organization, and you may not necessarily be able to put a number on it. Certainly won't make the CFO happy because it's not number-driven.
Yeah, exactly, not number-driven.
But at the same time, it's just one of the additional little nuances. It's almost like a billboard. It's like, do you ever actually go, oh, excuse me, but unless you rated the billboard, I can't give you this particular program. You don't know. It's awareness. So, again, I think that the worship experience and what you do is an opportunity that extends the awareness campaign more so than being driven to product or service. Hardcore solutions, you know, close the loan, close the deal kind of approach. So that's just Tough Talkin' Troy's approach.
Well, and I think that may be why credit union and other brands struggle with it, because you're right. You're not going to ask the pastor of a church to be, you know, firing T-shirts out of a T-shirt gun from the altar with South Carolina logos on a Sunday morning. As fun as that sounds.
Oh, my God. Wait a minute. What an idea. Wait, I've got to write that down. I'm driving. I can't believe it.
I know. Don't do it while you're driving. Now, the smart aleck drummer here just handed me a note that said, Jason, if they want to market to you at church, they better put some brochures in the confessional. And that's really funny. But I agree. You know, I was my son attends a private school, and they were playing the San Marcos Baptist Academy, and the kids came in from the San Marcos Baptist Academy, and I noticed that their jerseys, the things they wear over their jersey, their warm ups, on the back had A+ Federal Credit Union out of Austin, Texas.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, and I thought, you know what, that probably didn't cost them a whole lot of money, but it was really cool, and everybody noticed it. In fact, parents were like, I wonder who we could get to drop their logo on the back of our jersey. So believe it or not, folks, we've reached the end of another show. It does fly by very, very quickly. A couple quick show notes. First of all, Troy, thank you so much for joining us early this morning while you're on the road en route to Arrowpoint Credit Union. Say hello to our friends at Arrowpoint. Ask them to listen to this show. I want to tell you guys, coming up in 2 weeks, we're going to have Thomas Renz from Commodore Perry. These are the guys that stood up to the NCUA. I am talking about a true modern-day David and Goliath story. And next week, since we'll be doing another early morning, I want to do another music show. Troy, you mentioned that one of the songs you loved the first time you heard it was Queen's Bohemian Rhapsody. Folks, you might hear that next Wednesday morning on the show. I want to do at least one music show a month, and just use that to get people going on a Wednesday morning and get your midweek off to a good continuation or off to a good start. We're going to do a show, Troy, and I probably a special broadcast about this fourth cycle. You mentioned it on Emma's show, and I have been reading and investigating this feverishly, this generational concept that this fourth turning, this fourth cycle, this not the Gen Y, that overstudied Gen Y, still living at home, over my head in student loan debt, couldn't qualify for a $15 signature loan if I prayed about it. I thought those guys were overstudied. I think this next generation, Generation Next, Emma's generation, are really the ones that are going to transform our banking marketplace forever, our marketplace forever. And I've been toying with the idea of sharing useless tweets that I see each and every day, but Troy will probably tell me that's not very gentlemanly, so we may not get to do that. And of course, we'll do it all on a Wednesday. If it's Wednesday, it's the Power Performance, a show that asks the question, if your brand were a band, would you leave the audience wanting more? And as we were often very fond of saying, the show where the talk is hot and the hosts are
hotter, absolutely.
Much, much hotter and much more handsome. Hey, Troy, you have a safe, safe drive out there. Not go get a T-shirt gun and start launching things at church.
I won't be launching any pastors out of a gun. We can just make sure that the listening audience will be assured that there will be no pastor shot out of a cannon on my watch. So
and maybe T-shirts, but not pastors. But I do want folks to think about that. Man, I got this because when I hear the seven cooperative principles, it always hits me like some George Orwellian Marxist manifesto. I do believe cooperative banking has a great leveraged advantage over regular banking when it's explained correctly. But to sit around and come to me at the GAC and ask me, Jason, do you know what the seven cooperative principles of cooperative banking? No, I don't. And I don't care, by the way. Take your T-shirt over there and go have another light beer. But I think live, work, learn, and worship, that's a much better parameter to think about your brand and how to intentionally engage your audience. Hey, Troy, have a great, great day out in South Carolina. And everybody else, thank you so much for joining us. I am now going to hit the radio exit button the right time at the end of the show. And until next week, you guys have a great week, and we'll talk to you soon.